Tonight for your word. We've been talking about the measure of a strong church. The measure of a strong church. As we left off a couple of weeks ago, we said that the measure of a strong church, and we're talking about the people that want to go further with God. We're talking about people that want to go deeper with God, that want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I talking to anybody in here? It's okay to say amen every once in a while. It's okay to say, yes, Pastor, I agree with you. I'm looking for those that have a hunger for the things of God. I'm looking for those that are thirsty. I'm not talking to the average, average, quote, Christian. You know the problem, everybody you meet today, it's hard to meet unsaved people. Did you know that? Everybody says they're a Christian. But, you know, there's a vast difference in knowing about God and knowing Him personally. You got to watch out when people say, oh, yeah, God's good, isn't He? Well, I don't know about what they're thinking. But I know who God is. And I know apart from Him, I can do nothing. We've come in here because we are part of the core. We're part of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who want more of God in this last hour. We're sold out to the Lord. We're not going to get caught up in the problems that the typical person gets caught up in. And every one of us in here tonight could have a pity party if we wanted to. And every one of us in here tonight could just, if we wanted to, just drown in our tears, telling each other all the stories. We probably all got some, haven't we? And I can tell you right now, most of the problems of people, they're relational. They got problems in their relationship, either with their spouse, or with their children, or with somebody. Or they got financial needs. They're broke, busted, disgusted, in debt. And that's really the majority, the crux of the way most people are in the body of Christ. And they've got to get free from that in order to receive from God. In order to be free to understand spiritual gifts. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual gifts. Read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. But yet most of the church has really no clue and understanding of the spiritual gifts that should operate in every church who calls himself after the name of Christ. Every church ought to have the presence of God, feel the place where we assemble ourselves together. Because when we come together in the name of Jesus, there He is. Now we bring Him with us because He's in us. But His presence brings a refreshing. He goes on to tell us, if you read this again in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. That means there are different kinds of gifts that are supposed to manifest, come into view in the church. It says it's the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that drew you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that descended on the day of Pentecost. And all that were in that upper room were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Same Holy Spirit. And He says there are differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord. Ministries is services. What do you do for the Lord? But listen to me closely. It's not what you do for the Lord. It's what you do that He asks you to do. How many understand what I just said? It's not just what we do for God, but did we do what God told us to do? In order to do what God told us to do, we have to have a relationship with God. We have to be able to hear from God, because God will hold us accountable. Say accountable. Accountable for what He told us to do. So there's a difference, see, and I'm trying to make this point to you. There's a difference between just knowing about God and having an intimate relationship with Him. Walking, talking, relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that He accepted you in His family the way you came to Him. You didn't have to clean up first. You didn't have to get an education first. You didn't even have to change your habits yet. He just accepted you in His family the way you were. I love that scripture. It says He died for the ungodly. I qualified. And I like where it says that He loved me first. Think about it. He loved you first. Well, sure He did. He went to the cross at Calvary and paid the price for your redemption so that you could be part of His family. Same Spirit. Same Lord in the services that we do for Him. And then it says, and there are diversities of activities. But it's the same God who works all in all. In other words, God gives these gifts. And He gives them to who He wants to give them to. He gives them as He wills. It's by His Spirit. It's administered through the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all comes from God the Father. Every one of us, here's a Bible truth. Every one in this place tonight who is a Christian has a gift from God. Here's another Bible truth for you. Every one of us have a service to our church, because this is where God has placed us. This is where God has planted us. This is why you have said, I want to be a part of the core group. I don't want to be just a Christian in name who comes to church occasionally, and on a Sunday morning or on Easter or on Christmas, but I'm here because I'm part of the body. How would you like to get up some morning and your foot and your left hand says, I want to stay in bed today? You'd be crippled, wouldn't you? Can you imagine if everyone in this room that's here tonight, which represents less than 10% of our church, would find their place in the body of Christ? What we could do if everyone in this room tonight would discover and find their place, understanding that God has gifted them, God has given you a service to do, whether it be, it looks like it's menial. You know, you may have a gift of baking cakes. You might have a gift of editing film, running computers. Whatever it is, it's important to this body. It's important in where God has called you to be. Everyone has a lifetime of work that they are called to do. That's what that means right there in verse 6. The diversities of activities, or you could write down the workings. In other words, what has God called us to do becomes our primary purpose in life. And as I said to you, I think last time, everything else is really secondary. We learn to hear God. And we learn that we have to get into the presence of God in order to hear and, if you will, perceive the things that God is showing us to do and telling us to do. My job tonight is to equip you. In fact, let's go over there. I'm kind of being off here just a little bit. Just go over to Ephesians chapter. Can I do something a little different? I was going to get into the various gifts. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see something here and look at this with a different set of eyes and understanding tonight in talking about what makes up or the measure of a strong church. Now, I think most of you already understand a strong church has to be full of strong Christians. Those that will not cower down to the enemy. Those that will put their hand to the plow and not look back. There'll be times that we want to give up. There's times that we want to quit, but we have chose not to entertain those thoughts. We've decided that we're lifers. We've decided that we're not going to let the devil or anybody or anything take us out of our race in God. And it is a race, isn't it? But we're told not to get weary in well-doing. We're told not to faint. We're told not to lose heart. We're told to keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher. We're told, in fact, to have faith in God and to speak to our mountains and do not doubt in our heart, but believe what we say, because we will have what we say. Don't go around saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't go around saying, oh, man, this stuff's getting so high, I don't know what. Don't go around saying it. Catch yourself saying that. You belong to a different kingdom. And you continue to do what you know is right. And you'll walk in the blessing of God. You'll walk in the abundance of God. You will have when others have not. Because God will provide for His covenant people. My job is not just to feed you so you can become fat and happy. I hope you're happy. It's not just so you can learn some new things and impress your friends. Hey, I found out this. Look at this. No, no. It's to equip you to do the work, to do the workings of what God has called you and I to do. It says right here in the book of Ephesians. Did you find that? Okay, look at this. Ephesians chapter 4. And it says, and He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Somebody tell me, what is the responsibility of these fivefold ministries? We just read it here. To equip the saints. Now, what are we equipping the saints for? Are we equipping the saints for what? Read it out of your Bible. To do the work of the ministry or the service of what God has called you to do. He goes on and says, it's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, or that word is to build up. What we are doing is building the kingdom of God in this earth. Amen? So that His will can be done in this earth, just like it's being done now in heaven. He's preparing that place for us, remember? Okay? It says, for the edifying or the building of the body of Christ. How many of you consider you're part of the body of Christ? Well, if you're saved, you are. It says, till we come together in the unity of the faith. Until we come together in the unity of the faith. Now, we may not all believe the same way, but we've got to come together in unity. And we've got to come together in the unity of faith, because that's the only way we can please God. It says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Why do people perish? Somebody tell me again. People perish for a lack of knowledge. They have this understanding that church is like a spectator sport. It's like a performance. In other words, and this is really what it's evolved to in most places, is that it comes down to a few people that get up on the stage, they sing, they play instrument, we watch, we clap, somebody gets up and does the offering, somebody gets up and does announcements, and somebody gets up and preaches, and we had church. Now, that's what it has evolved into. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. There's a reason that we worship. I like what you said. There's a reason that we worship, because the worship develops the intimacy into me, see. Intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's that presence of God that we're after. Because in the presence of God, it takes our minds, our thoughts off of ourselves. I didn't say you didn't have problems. I didn't say you don't have situations that could be drastic. But what I did say is, if you learn how to get in the presence of God, that's the whole purpose of worship, because it releases the load off of you. It puts the burden back on Jesus. And Jesus knows what to do with burdens. I said he knows how to remove them. And he knows how to destroy yokes, amen, because he is the anointed one. That sounds good, doesn't it? So my whole thing here is to equip you for the work of the ministry, but I know it's going to have to be preceded by worship that brings us into the presence of God. Because the worship, here's another one for you. It connects us to the Lord Jesus. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you're the branch. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 15? And he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if he is the vine, now think about it. If he is the vine is where the branches get their nourishment from. It's where they get their nutrients in order to bud out the branches to bear fruit. And we are called to bear fruit. Right? So when we learn to be worshipers and learn to take advantage of worship time and not just think of it as the preliminary, like so many people do, come straggling in here thinking that that's just the preliminary of church service until the preaching starts. Understand, people, that the worship, coming into the presence of God, the only way you can get in the presence of God is to spend quality time with Him. Amen. And when you get into the presence of God, then you are connected to Jesus, who puts fuel in your tank. You ever seen wilted Christians? People that don't have the courage to stand, the strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Who took your joy? We're supposed to have peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't understand what is. You're supposed to have the peace of God that surpasses what you understand. It's the peace of God that's supposed to flood your heart. Guard it. Because why? Because Proverbs 4 says, out of the heart what flow issues of life. So we learn to balance. Okay? Now, I said all that to say this, because I wanted you to see something here Let me just read the scripture. It says, until we come together, read it again, in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Did you see that? Can I just tell you something? Some of you are a different age. And I'm not talking about chronological. I'm not talking about senior citizens or I'm talking about everybody's at a different age in the Lord. A different level of understanding. So when I tell you this, let it apply to your understanding. It is not okay to stay a baby Christian all your life. It is not okay to stay a baby all your Christian life. In fact, you shouldn't stay a baby very long. You don't have to stay a baby very long. In a church that ushers in and has a desire, a prayer for the presence of God and the Word of God to go forth under the anointing and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because we're not here. We're not here just because we don't have something else to do. We're not here because we're just, you know, playing church. We're here because we're serious about God. We get into the messes that we're in and into the troubles and the situations because we did not follow the instructions. We did not have the principles of God working in our life, learning to apply what the Word of God says to our daily life so we can balance our life out. Because we all have lives, don't we, apart from coming to church. Can I hear somebody say amen? But we've got to learn to balance that life out there. Or that life will overwhelm us. It'll overtake us. And it will bog us down and we will have the issues on us to a degree that we can't function. You keep adding weight and more weight to the bicycle. How many know it's hard to pedal? You start going uphill, it gets even harder to pedal. How many know life is going to try to add some weights to you? How many know that life is going to try to get you to go up some mighty high hills? You better have a way to release that. And you better have a way that strength cometh, that you can endure every temptation. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Count it all joy when we fall into different temptations. That tells me that temptations are going to come. But it also goes and say the temptations are not from God. So if they're not from God, I have more power than the devil. So whatever the devil tempts me with, if I stay connected to the vine and I've got fuel in my tank, then it will power me to go through anything I face in life. There is nothing new hidden under the sun in which God has not already made you a way of escape. He has not already made you a way to go through whatever you're going through. And come out on the other side. Not drugged down and cowered down and burned out. Somebody told me today, I'm getting burned out. Well, get some more fuel in your tank. Amen. Trim your wick a little bit and rekindle the fire. Get in the presence of God and be a worshiper of Almighty God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly and admonish you in all wisdom. This is not a day that we can cower down and let the perilous times come upon us and cause us to be so weighted down with it that we cannot function as a member of the body of Christ. So I'm going to do all I can do to equip you. I'm going to do all I can do to get you to see that when you do the Word, and not just a hearer only, all the blessing of God will be upon your life. Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom, he said, are those who learn how to serve. You know, what we have to focus on is serving others in the kingdom of God. I'm serving you tonight the word of the living God. When we learn to serve, that's what Jesus said constitutes somebody that's great in the kingdom. He wasn't talking about titles. He wasn't talking about prestige. And it's okay to have a title. It's okay to have prestige. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be rewarded for what you have done that he asked you to do. Can I say that again? You're not going to be rewarded for how many titles you received or how many awards that you received here in this life. You will be rewarded by God for what he's called you to do. And you did what he called you to do. Amen? All right. Now, I don't know why people can't grab this revelation and why it has to be fewer than 10% of the church that really learn how to serve God in their church. I can't imagine why people even think in that terminology. Why is it that only 10% or less support the church? When everybody who comes to the church says, yeah, that's my church. Yeah, that's where I go. Yeah, pastor's my pastor. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. But yet, they're not delivered. They're in bondages. They can't get free. They let those two basic areas, either relationship problems or financial problems, the struggles of life, become so overwhelming that they can't function as a member of the body of Christ and do what God's called them to do. Well, he says again that we are to become a perfect man. Look at that, verse 13 again, the last part. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? Well, it just means that we're supposed to grow up. You wanted your children to grow up, didn't you? I mean, they're cute when they're babies. We have little ones. But you know what? 10 years from now, I don't want to be changing her pamper. Hello? I pretty soon she's got to get off the what do you call it? We'll just say the bottle. There you go. Breastfeeding. Amen. Now, the whole idea is to get less and less of us and become more and more of him. That's what Paul said, wouldn't it? Decrease so that he can increase. Decrease so that he can increase. Okay. And so I want to give you just quickly here, about out of time again, I want to give you a self-evaluation. How many of you brought a pencil and paper? If you brought a pencil and paper, you can take this test, okay? If you didn't, others, you just have to listen. But I want to talk to you here quickly, five things that constitute a healthy Christian. Everybody's health conscious nowadays. You know, this diet, that diet, eat this way, eat that way. And I understand, as we get older, we try to take better care of the temple. Can somebody say amen? But why are diets so hard? Because they're not natural to us. We like to eat what we like to eat. And I'm going to tell you this, even if you're not overweight, you continue to eat the wrong things at the wrong time, you're going to tear yourself down. You don't have to be fat. I mean, you can just not eat the right things and feel sluggish and no energy. You're not going to be able to come up to the altar and, you know, go, whoa, praise God. You're not in shape. Yeah, but I'm old. Well, quit confessing you're old. Confess you're going to live to be 120. You know why people don't live to be 120? Because the word is not being taught that you can live to 120. Faith cometh by. Amen. Yeah, but I'm broken down. Well, you know, I'm just saying, is it, the older you get, you strive more to be healthy. When you're young, you think you're going to live forever. But listen to this. What constitutes a healthy Christian? You know, just like we can become so overwhelmed about how to take care of ourselves. Now, some of you young people probably don't understand this yet, but you know, you will. You live long enough. And we become so overwhelmed that we say, heck with it. I don't want to eat that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to exercise. I don't feel like doing that. Well, it's the same thing in Christian health. Oh, I don't think I'm going to read my Bible today. I don't think I'm going to pray today. I don't think I'm going to go to church today. And it just so overwhelms you that you just back off and say, well, just whatever will be, will be. Yeah. Did you see the analogy there? It's the same thing. There's things that we do to keep us healthy as a Christian. And these fivefold ministries all affect that. The first one is the apostle. Remember he said apostle? And then he said in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Well, here's the first one for you. The apostle brings leadership to you. Paul progressed to be a leader. Apostle is a leader who provides a covering. It's not just your church that covers you. You need a sounding board. You need to know that you are covered and that you need to have somebody that can impart into your life and check things out. A sounding board. You know what a sounding board is? Somebody that has a right to deal their hand in your life. And you don't get mad and say, what's he telling me what to do for? Leadership provides placement. Placement is where we find our function or our place of service in the body of Christ. And I'm just going to give you these things briefly. Leadership provides discipleship training. The very root of disciple is discipline. There has to be a correction, if you will. We have to be corrected without getting mad and offended when we're corrected by a leader. This is what the apostolic ministry, the call or the office of apostle is. Remember, the kingdom of God, even though we're all equal, we have different responsibilities. There's ranks, there's generals, there's fathers. He said, you have a lot of teachers, but you have very few fathers in the faith. Somebody that will look you in the eye. Somebody will tell you the truth even when you don't like to hear the truth. But the truth will set us free. Okay? So, we all need it. We all need to be under covering. That's what the apostle covering does for us. And, you know, just because, now listen to me, just because you come to a church doesn't mean you have a covering. Just because you come in here and said, and you call it your church, does not mean that you're covered. You have to have someone be your covering. You have to submit yourself to that covering. Another thing that apostle calling does is give vision. Can you imagine having a team without a coach? Having a football team without a quarterback? Who's calling the plays? How do we know where we're going? How do we know when we got there? All that stuff. So here's the first. Just a scale of one. There's five of these things. One to five. And give yourself, you know, one, two, three, four, five. But here's the first one. How submitted to you are you to your covering? Are you really plugged in? Do you really see the vision? Did you contribute to the remodel of the bathrooms? Okay. Then the second one, I knew you'd like that. Just give yourself a grade. Nobody's going to see it but you. The highest score you can make is 5 times 5 is, what, 25? If you're only about a 10 when we get through, you got some ways to grow. Moving right along here, the second one is a vertical connection. What's a vertical connection? What's vertical? Anybody know what vertical is? Okay. Come on, everybody point up. Vertical connection. That's the prophet's ministry. See, whether they realize it or not, the singers, the praisers, they operate in that prophetic ministry because the prophetic ministry is to connect you again to Jesus. They are God aware. They are God conscious. They are aware of the presence. They want the presence of God. If you got somebody up here singing and leading and they don't want the presence of God, they don't need to be up here. Come on, somebody. So we're talking about vertical connection. It connects us to God. We connect to God through our prayer life. But you know, prayer has to be upload and download. You got to spend the time with God. Not just, yeah, prayer is talking to God. Somebody said, what's the difference between prayer and intercession? Well, intercession is when you're praying for others. Prayer is when you're praying for yourself. But you have to come back to the place where you can just listen to God. It's like meditation. Meditation is lost in the church. But I just admonish you to take a scripture and just meditate on it for half a day, 30 minutes, and allow it to speak to you. You've got to spend as much time listening to God as you do talking to God. So the second test is, where are you on your vertical connection? Scale 1 to 5. No prayer life. No worship life. Do you have to be prompted? You know, all these things will grade you. So the apostle is to give you leadership. The prophet is to keep you vertically connected. And then the evangelist. Well, the evangelist is for the outward focus so that we don't become just self-centered and selfish. The office of the evangelist is to get our eyes to see Jesus as he really is. To see that Jesus really does love people. That's why he died. Sometimes we have trouble loving people. But you know, God loves everybody. I said God loves everybody. And when you can see and get a revelation of how much God loves you, then you know what? You can love other people. You know why you don't serve in church? You don't know why you don't serve in ministry? Is because you haven't learned to love people. Isaiah, I don't have time to go through all the scripture, but he saw the Lord for who he was. He really saw the Lord. He had an encounter with God. And God had to come down, and because he confessed he didn't have clean lips, but God cleaned his lips. And see, once you see, the evangelist helps you to see the real Jesus. The real Jesus. The compassionate Jesus. The Jesus that went to the cross and died for every sinner. Praise God. Something on the inside of you, see, tells you to witness. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? See, once you have a revelation of how much God loves you and how much he loves people, nobody will have to tell you to witness to people. You'll see them and you'll have compassion on the lost. That's the office of the event. You have to have that to be healthy. So there's test 3. Where is your compassion for the lost? On a scale of 1 to 5. How much do you witness to people? Are y'all taking this test? Yeah, some of you are just looking at me funny. The fourth one is the horizontal connection. The horizontal. Remember, we got vertical, now the horizontal. That's the pastor's job. You got the evangelist, now you got the pastor. Because the pastor is to bring you into unity. It's to bring you into community so that you can develop relationship with one another. It's very hard to serve one another without a relationship. One of the reasons we have fellowship is to build relationship. When you have a relationship, then you can have compassion. You can have that concern. You can have that desire to help and want to do something. If you're not part of the community, listen, if you're not part of the community, then it's not appropriate for you to call me your pastor. Why? You're not allowing, see, yourself to be a part of the community. Okay. Y'all are really quiet tonight. Okay. Jesus was, well, let me read on here. So how connected are you to the body? Just rate yourself. How connected? Are you a hand? Are you arm? Are you a leg? Are you a finger? A toenail? You know, what are you? Hair, ear, eye? What are you? Okay. And then the last one here is training. Like I took a whole hour on all these. Training is the role of the teachers. Now, the pastor and the teacher, most of the time, go hand in hand. And with the apostle, the pastor flows in and out of all of these because he has to do that. But the primary role is, you know, again, we all need teaching. The only one that we're told to show or to get approval from is God. You're trying to get approval from man, and that weighs you down. The only person we're told to get approval from is God. And the way we get approval from God is to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. Equipped, thoroughly furnished to do all good things, all good works. But, sad to say, most Christians don't understand the value of being taught and learning through teaching. Because the teacher gets in there and digs this thing out, breaks it down where you can understand it. Because I'm going to tell you, in reality, this is where people get really goofed up, messed up, because they don't have sound doctrine. When you don't have sound doctrine, you teach crazy, goofed up things. What would you do if a Mormon come and knocked on your door? What would you do? You know why you won't do anything? Because you don't know what to do. Well, that's real. You're supposed to have a defense. Not that we look for confrontation. We're not trying to be confrontational with anybody. But we are called to defend our faith. What are you going to do if a Jehovah's Witness comes up to you and says, "Hey, only 144,000 going to heaven. Are you one of them?" You know, what are you going to say? How are you going to defend all this weird stuff that's going on out there? Are you going to wind up in some cult out in West Texas or Arizona? Amazing how this guy, he thinks he's the Messiah. And nobody, listen to this. I don't know if you saw that the other night. Nobody in that compound. Now, they believe in community. Yeah, give everything they got to him. Listen. And all the families in there, you don't have any sexual relationship. If you came in married, none of that goes on. The only person you can have sex with is him. And they fall for that hook, line, and sinker. Now, that's the extreme. That's the extreme of dumb. Deceived. But the devil, he preys on people who operate in ignorance. Because everybody's after something of a supreme, higher, spiritual, woo, experience. Are you with me? And so, that's the fifth test, is evaluate yourself. See where you are in the knowledge of the doctrine, of the scriptures. Are you quick to take the foundations and build yourself up and learn the things of God? All these five things working in your life will cause you to stay healthy as a Christian. How many of you want to stay healthy? Just like you want to stay healthy in your body, you want to stay healthy as a Christian. And sad to say, most churches just focus on the aspect or the role of the pastor. But you see, you need all five of those things imparting into your life, all five of those anointings to keep you whole and complete and sound and strong. Amen. Come on, stand up. Stand up on your feet. Did you take that test? Okay, be honest. You know, grade yourself. You just sat there and didn't bring a pen and paper, shame on you. No, I'm just pulling your leg. Y'all do whatever you want to do. I'm just here to help you, okay? I'm just here to encourage you. I know if I make you mad, you'll get offended. If you get offended, then you just show your maturity. So we don't want anybody to get offended, right? But you got to have somebody that'll stand up and impart to you as a spiritual father in the faith. Amen. Amen. I want to build the kingdom, and I want you to be a part of the kingdom, and I want you to know who you are in Christ. I don't want to see you get hoodwinked, deceived, lied to, cheated on, any of that stuff. Stay strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus.